7 p.m. and I would like to begin the meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance. I'd ask everyone to stand, please.
6.07 p.m.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'd like to welcome everyone to tonight's meeting. The last of 2021. Hopefully we have a bright 2022 ahead of us. Hey, Kamish, I see you're on now.
Yes.
Okay. Roll call. Let the record show that the three commissioners are attending the meeting. Mr. Bartholomew, Mr. Glode, and myself. Public portion. I would like to open the meeting to anyone from the floor who would like to speak in the public portion of the meeting.
How you doing, guys? Sam Palastro, 11 Laurel Avenue, Derby. I'm here as a segue. A friend of mine who's also on here, Len Duffus, asked me to come up and to join you guys and kind of do an introduction. Len is an Ansonia citizen. He's a friend of mine and a colleague. He started a nonprofit organization in the town of Ansonia. And he recently, not, I don't want to take everything from him, but I just kind of just do a mild introduction. And then I'm going to ask him to speak to you guys. He has Mayor Cassetti had asked him just to become a police commissioner. And he has a nonprofit organization. He's on the JBR. JRB, the Juvenile Review Board. And he just recently received some funding from the state of Connecticut to the tune of $175,000 that he's waiting to have come through so he can start. He's already been mentoring a couple of kids. And while this is in its infancy, the reason why I am here today along with himself is that we wanted to talk to you guys. He's already started some programs in Ansonia and had the police and the kids integrated. When he first approached me with this, I had told him how the police department has something very similar where the police have outreach with the children. And I thought that this would be a great tool and instrument. So I don't want to take up any more of your time. I'll have Lenny come in and talk to you guys about what he's doing and what it's all about. When he first approached me, he said he wanted to join Ansonia and Derby together. And then he wants to move this forward. So I'll have him start with the short and long-term goals of what he's doing. And if you guys have any questions for him, I know this is not a Q&A, but I'm hoping that this is informal enough where if you guys have any questions you want to ask him, by all means. Thanks for your time.
To see you, Sam. Thank you. And Mr. Duffus.
Len.
Please speak.
How you guys doing? How you guys doing? Thank you, Sam, for the introduction. My name is Len Duffus. I'm 10 Hickory Lane, Ansonia. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I just want to pretty much give you the synopsis. Like Sam told you, I'm recently just got under police commission, and we've been running this program in Ansonia for like almost 10 years. We're doing book bag rallies. We also did an event with police officers where the police officers were their coaches of the kids during a kickball game. So we have like a community outreach where we try to bridge the gap between the community and the police officers. We really want to, you know, bridge that gap, seeing how the things were going on last summer. We want to avoid those things because the Valley isn't like the rest of the, you know, the rest of the country. You know, we're a smaller town. Ansonia and Derby really work well together. So that's why I approached Sam, and I wanted to bring my program to Derby. So what I do is I'm on the JRB, and I'll take kids from the JRB, and we'll give them mentoring, where it will be like anger management and conflict resolution. So, and there's also going to be other classes provided there. Like you said, this is it just started. Like I'm on my second kid. We just have two kids that we're working with right now. But I'm looking to reach in a Derby because the Ansonia and Derby are so close. It doesn't make sense to build this in Ansonia and not build it in Derby. I'm sorry, there's a lot. So yes, I received the $150,000 grant, but we haven't received any of that funding just yet. So we're going to be looking to do fundraising. Hopefully you guys can help me with that. We're going to do like pasta dinners or things of that nature to try to make some money to pay my counselors. Those are the ones who are dealing with the kids. That's pretty much like the gist of the program. You know, we have a facility in Ansonia, 4 4th Street, the Ford building over on the north end of Ansonia that Cassetti provided me with. So we're able to run the programs out of that. So that's pretty much it, gentlemen. I don't want to eat up too much of your time, but I was hoping that you guys can, because of what Sam has told me about your outreach program and where you guys want to go, that I was hoping you guys could help me help you guys.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, just some basic questions. You answered some of them. Where you're located at 4 4th Street in Ansonia. Yes. How many counselors do you have on staff right now?
Right now we have 2.
Okay. And aside from the anger management side of it, what other activities are you offering for the kids right now?
But once the place is built up, we were looking to do more life management skills, because this is kind of more of a bridge program where we would give kids skills for life, like how to buy a car, credit, what is credit, and, you know, basic necessities for life. But not every kid's going to go to college. Not every kid's going to join the military or go get a trade. But sometimes they float through those from 15 to 20, just in high school, just out of high school, they're floating sometimes. So what we want to do is give them life skills to be able to help themselves during those times until they figure out where they want to go.
Okay. And is there a meeting of your organization on a routine basis?
Yes.
I'd like to do is just kind of see, you know, attend a meeting or two and see how the organization works. And I think that would be something I'd like to have, you know, maybe the chief and I attend, or all the commissioners and the chief, just to see, you know, how things seem to be working and, you know, where we can, what we can bring to the table to assist you. Because right now, I think that's the biggest topic in the Valley is juvenile issues. So I think that would be a good fit and possibly integrate our program into yours. So I think it would be a good thing to look into for our group.
You know, last month, Gene DiGiovanni at a RTC meeting had brought up something. If we can do something, if he brought up a couple, I don't mean to interject and I apologize, but Gene DiGiovanni had the same thought you did, Tom. He goes, I see these kids coming off the school bus all the time and they have no place to go. A lot of them have single parents. The parents are working. These kids just have nowhere to go. And he brought up 2 points, and one of them was answered by if he wanted to do something he was looking to do, it was Dennis O'Connell through Parks and Rec, if he wanted to create something. The other one, I said, well, this is, of course, if the kids get in trouble or something like that, or even if they don't, they still have a place to go in his place. So he had asked if I could bring him over as a guest speaker. And that was totally coincidental, unrelated, when, you know, Len and I were talking. And then all of a sudden he brought that up and he said that he would like to talk to him. So he's going to come to the RTC meeting and just address that.
Okay. Chief, you were going to speak.
Yeah. So this is a lot of stuff on the operational level. So just so you have an idea, we have about $12,000 in community outreach wages that we use to try to interject and get into the community. We do go up to the high school. We have activities, you know, occasionally we have the softball game or the basketball game or, you know, any type of sports related events. We don't have the funding for a PAL type of a league. I mean, if you're looking at a Bridgeport or a Waterbury, Stratford, they do it really well. And we just don't have the manpower. We don't have enough to do that. So it does make sense to blend in Ansonia and Derby. Our former superintendent, I never forget this, but he said, you know, money isn't everything, but it ain't nothing. Exactly, word for word. $150,000 doesn't go very far, but it's a great start. I totally agree with you. I think life skills is a great place to go. I think interaction and seeing that everybody's just a human being and everybody's going through something is a fantastic thing. We have a juvenile review board. We have John Sacu. So he's a great reach out person. he goes above and beyond. This this guy does a lot of stuff that's not in the job description. So he's a fantastic counterpart. He's a person to interject with here, interact with. He deals with the Valley substance abuse, a bunch of other places, getting us Narcan for free and checking up on students that aren't going to classes, that are lost remotely. And just he's a great person that works with our Board of Education and a great resource for us. So I think if we can get some more information, I think John could get involved in this. I think we can take a look at our money, take a look at what Ansonia has for pooling money. And we are one community. I mean, Ansonia and Derby, your problems are our problems, our problems are your problems. They're the same people, same names, same players. And when we fix one, we fix it in both communities. So I think that's a great thing. So I think what we'll do is we'll put you in touch with John and we'll figure out, on our part, what we can do. And we'll hook up with Ansonia. So I think between the two juvenile review boards, the two towns will have some representatives and do a little get together and kind of figure out how we can make this work. The issue I know both communities are having is manpower right now. You're going to have probably 20% loss in both organizations. Orange is going to be like 25%. So overtime is going to be the way to fund this for right now. And a lot of grant money out there. So that's the place to look is for additional grants, because there's different ways to pigeonhole this. And I think if we can get something and we collaborate, that's what the state is looking for. It's looking for communities to get together and share their resources. So I think there's a lot of potential in this. I think it's in its infancy. And I think, we need to have some conversations outside this, but like the idea.
So I think it's an excellent idea, timely idea.
Say again.
Anyone else?
Mike? Lenny, what?
I was saying that gentleman you were speaking, does he work with Bob Lisi?
I believe he does. Doesn't everybody? But he interacts with our Board of Education and the GRB.
Yeah, I'm on the JRB. I newly got on that. So they're meeting again in January. So I haven't got a chance. I've only been to one meeting. We only got two kids on that meeting. So I think I'm in contact with the guy you're talking about, but I would love for you to, I'd love to have this conversation outside of this.
I have his contact information if you need it, Len. I can give it to you at work.
Okay. And I would like to see, us sit down. The commissioners, the chief, the lieutenant, sit down with you, sir, and kind of mix some ideas together and see where we can go with this, because there's no better time for this right now, as far as I'm concerned. So I thank you for bringing this offer, Sam and Mr. Duffus. Well,
thanks for having us, guys.
Thank you.
I don't want to take up any more of your time, guys.
No?
Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we look forward to talking to you in the new year and continue this dialogue.
All right. Thank you very much, both gentlemen.
Have a good one, Sam.
Thank you.
Yep.
Positive. You. Very positive thing.
I appreciate your time. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the public would like to speak tonight? Anyone else from the public? Okay, with that, I'd like to declare the public portion of the meeting closed. And the agenda for tonight, does anyone have any additions, corrections, or adoptions for tonight's agenda? I'll need a motion to adopt it.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Commissioner Gloed made that motion. I'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? All right, the agenda has been adopted. Next item of business, previous month's minutes from the October 4th, 2021 meeting. Has everyone had a chance to look them over? Any changes, deletions, corrections that need to be made? Hearing none, I would call for a motion to accept the minutes.
I'll make the motion, Tommy.
Okay,
I'll second it.
Commissioner Gloves, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So moved. Okay, so we adopted our minutes. Old business. Does anyone have anything to bring up under old business?
Yeah, I just want to brief the board up really quickly as to where we stand. You all have copies or have had been forwarded copies of the concept of the police accreditation manager. Just as a quick refresher, what had happened is under the Police Accountability Act, we have to be CALEA certified by 2025. It's a tiered accreditation, and it is a constant ongoing process. I've been briefed at this for at least the first 3 years is a full-time position. And there's a lot of money involved on top of this. And normally agencies dedicate a full-time police officer. That is impossible for us in the current situation. So what I had suggested doing is to try to make a position fit so that we can get a quality person in here to try to accomplish that, because once we get accredited, this is potentially a good part-time position. In looking at that, you need to have somebody with a decent skill set, wages where they can, something big consideration. So what I did is I took a look at the country. I took a look at the region to get a good idea, you know, using different websites, Glassdoor and different types of polls. Took a look and I got a good bead on what a full-time accreditation manager is worth. And the 25th percentile wage is $49,500. The 75th percentile wage is $114,000, and with a median of $81,700. So what I did is I took a look at how that would translate into a part-time position, and I came up with $42 an hour. What we tried to do is we tried to make it fit. Half the state works under a Seamers retirement plan. The problem with Seamers is if you retire from a Seamers police department or agency, you can't work for another Seamers municipality more than 90 days per year. So that cuts out half of the potential people, or more than half the potential people that are qualified to have this position simply because of that restriction. So what I did is I structured the job to be no more than 720 hours per year so that they don't endanger their pension. And we could hire a quality person, you know, patrolman, sergeant, lieutenant, who managers familiar with policy accreditation in another agency, and we can try to exploit that. The nice part about that is if we use the civilian aspect of it, that we don't have to incur fringe. So fringe is a huge savings for us. A fringe is probably $35,000 for benefits for somebody. Plus, if you start taking a look at vacation time, comp time, PTO. So you have the policy in front of you, or the draft. So what I wanted to do is just kind of brief you up where we stand. I presented this to the Board of Aldermen, at least to brief the concept. This has been cleared through the mayor's office. So the board is aware of it. I'm sure they're going to refer us to a committee. I mentioned that time is of the essence because my budget is due. I need to have everything complete by January 31, which puts a really short timeline on this. The mechanism is the Board of Aldermen basically take and approve the position. We discuss the nuances of it. They approve a pay rate because it's a non-exempt part-time at will positions, not covered by collective bargaining. And then I would be able to come and present my budget to the BOPE, which turns out to be a $30,240 increase. That's what we'd be looking at. So I wanted to brief that up to you for the timeline and where things go. And that would be looking for a post June 1 hire to be able to do this. And there's more funding, there's more things that are required, but this is the piece that needs to be in motion and in place so that we can start this. This accreditation process starts January 1 of 2022. So we're going to be 6 months behind the eight ball as we start now.
Chief, are there any departments currently accredited under the new law?
Are there any? Yes. So, you know, we can drag this out all evening, but I believe last I knew there were 14. So that's dated information, but there were 14. I think there were like 30 state accredited. But this act, what it's done is basically wiped out state accreditation. It's worthless now. So everybody has to shift towards CALEA and start all over again. And the thing is that what many don't understand is it's a huge cyclical event. It's a policy, it's a procedure for everything else. It's not just having it written down and checking the box. It's coming in and testing. and asking your people if they understand the policy, seeing if we're really doing what we say, and then flying out people to come in and monitor. So we have to put people up in, you know, room and board, and they have to come out, they check our stuff, they spend, you know, a lot of time here. And then once that happens, it's a constant policy of constant policy development process until the next cycle when we bring people in. And we're paying for the initial accreditation. I want to say we're somewhere in the $14,000 range for the first accreditation. And then we start talking about bringing up reaccreditation, and this will never go away. This is in perpetuity once we start it. So that's the law. It is what it is, and I don't have any control over it. I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing, but we threw away state accreditation towards three tiers of CALEA. So that's kind of where we sit, and that's where we're going with this. The only other thing I wanted to bring up is I had been briefing the behavioral health assessments. That's another requirement under the Police Accountability Act. And basically, I have created and issued a policy on that and a general order. So the union reluctantly, or I'll just say they agreed, and they don't have an issue with it. It's the law. So we're going to start sending out two cycles. So we're talking about 40% of the department going to behavioral health assessments within this fiscal year. So we're really jamming on getting those people through. I did budget for that, so there is money in place for that, wages and the cost of the actual process. So that's what I have under old business.
I'm just thinking, would you like us to make a motion to support the accreditation position, just so that in case any questions come about?
I mean, that's up to you. We're beyond that right now. You know, I briefed this board, I briefed the mayor's office. So we have support from the administration, which means we move forward to the Board of Aldermen. The senior legislative body will weigh in on whether they want it or not, at what position. I mean, it's the law. I don't have a lot of, I'm doing my due diligence. Once the superior board makes some type of edict on it, the tax board has to fund it. So we went through that with the last cycle. So that's kind of where that sits. But there's so many pieces to this with between the body worn cameras and everything moving that this is consuming us here at the department.
That you brought up the topic I was going to ask you about, body worn cameras.
So I'm going to defer to the deputy chief because he's been managing the program.
The actual cameras for the in-cars will be installed this week. The server, we're doing that in-house. That's being installed tomorrow. And then the team from WatchGuard will be out the first week in January to actually begin the process of getting the body-worn cameras synced with the system, everyone trained up on it, train the trainer for management so we can actually work the platform behind the scenes if necessary. So hopefully everything will be up and running by mid-January, absent any unforeseen circumstances.
It's a lot of work in a short period of time. Good job, guys.
Yes, it is.
All right. Anything else on the old business? Does anyone have anything else? Okay. New business. We'll start with the chief. Anything you have on your new business, chief?
I do not, but you have your schedule of meetings for next year that you have to vote on.
Absolutely. So we have our schedule of meetings. I would need a motion to accept the 2022 schedule of meetings. I will note that the form that we have with the meetings dates on them says 2021. So I would ask for a correction on that so we can make it 2022. But stipulating that correction, I would ask for adoption of the monthly meeting schedule for 2022.
I'll make a motion. We accept the schedule that's on here.
Okay. And I saw Commissioner Grove.
I'll second it with the correction you mentioned.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, so we now have our 2022 schedule of monthly meetings.
Yeah, that on that correction for the date, it's on the form and also on the agenda. So we need to say 2022 on both of those.
Okay. Yes, we do. I didn't catch that one, Rich.
Thank I didn't you. Either because it's 2021. It looked normal.
I know. okay, so we'll make those two corrections then.
All right.
I'll send that back to Jess for correction. Okay, anything else on the new business? Okay, yeah. Moving along. Department reports. Anyone have any questions on the department reports?
I just want to make one comment for the record here. If you notice under overtime wages, we are the delta there is $60,000 overspent. And I want to explain that proportionally. We have some funding that was authorized by the Board of Aldermen that hasn't been backfilled yet. So we're watching that very judiciously, but if that does not get backfilled according to plan, we're going to be in huge trouble. The reason being is, as I've mentioned, we're going to have a lot of departures from the agency within this fiscal year. I still don't have a handle on it, but I'm kind of briefing you up on where that sits. Under the correspondence, you'll see two retirements, one mandatory, one not. You're going to see at a minimum two more coming in, and I don't know how that's going to fit in because there's two ways they can retire. They can take a lump sum of their sick time, or they can take that in a terminal leave manner. One is taken over a period of time, one is a lump sum. At least these two are going to be lump sum, which means this is unfunded. When I did the first set of numbers, we're over $200,000 in unfunded liabilities. So we'll see where this goes. When I get a better handle on what's going on, I'm going to request that from the Board of Apportionment and Taxation to make sure it's in place, because we have to pay that in a timely manner when it does come up.
Okay. Anything else under the department reports? Right, moving along to communications. We have two intent to retire letter from Sergeant Lajeunesse and the intent to retire letter from Sergeant Scott Bolt. Both having the same date of retirement of 17 June 2022. We've accepted them. Just noting that we have received them. As the chief said, this is going to put a big hole in the middle management, the Derby Police Department, until we can fill those positions. And financially, it's going to put a strain on the budget. But these folks have put their time in. They're entitled to the retirement. So we're just going to let it move along its course. There's nothing we can do to stop it. And we're losing two very good police officers. I worked with one and I trained the other one. So I know for a fact. Two good middle management people. So with that, any other comments on communications? Do we have anything, Jess, other than that?
So we do not, but just
no.
Okay,
in the sequence. In the sequence of events here, what's going to end up happening is I've engaged a testing agency, the only testing agency we use, to conduct a first line supervisor's exam. So we're gonna be running that within the next few months. And then as soon as you have those candidates, based on how many openings or vacancies, at the same time, we're gonna be running a parallel entry level to anticipate backfilling those. So on July 1 or thereabouts, you'll have promotions and you'll have new people coming on into these to backfill those positions so that we minimize those vacancies. You're still going to have FTO training time, but anticipate, you know, July, August, FTO time. So we're going to be short and even shorter and FTOing. So it's going to be challenging, but I just wanted to fill that in. That's the result of these and there's more coming.
I understand what you're saying, Chief. Are we still casting the net for lateral transfers?
We are. That's our first choice. When we were doing this last time, we were competing about 3 to 5, maybe 6 other departments. Currently, within the last 3 weeks, month that I looked, there were 40. So you're competing against a lot of other entities to try to entice them for lateral transfers. And where we were having 700, you know, back in the day, 700-800 candidates testing at the first phase of the entry level, we're having 75. So we have a 90% loss of actual candidates just even being interested.
Okay, we'll support you all we can in that endeavor. Traffic authority. Any business under traffic authority? Coincidentally, I had a conversation with Ed Sheehy at Zima, Zima Funeral Home on Elizabeth Street. He and I were talking about the darkness of the area with funerals at this time of the year. What I would like to do, or what I'm going to try to do, is contact UI and see if we can't boost some kind of street lighting in that area. Seeing what happened up in Seymour this past week, I don't think that's a horrible idea. And I'll brief the board a little bit more on what could or may or may not be done through the United Illuminating Company for street lighting, and see what else can be done. I was at a funeral when I was talking to Ed and saw that somebody almost did get hit crossing the road. So we need to just be aware that spot is very dark. And when there's a large funeral or a large wake, there's a lot of people crossing that road. I'll let everyone know where we go with that as soon as I can. Chief, if you can assist with UI, I don't know how you can do that, but.
Well, with all due respect, this is a city hall issue, and the mayor has points of contact, and I have done walkthroughs with the mayor. The mayor does it personally, and UI has two programs. They can change the streetlights, which is something that comes out of the city's budget, and it's done at the city hall level. It's not an LTA issue. And at the second, they have a Light the Night program, where you can use UI resources and pole-mounted lights to illuminate, private properties. So there's two components to this, but the mayor is the point of contact on that, and we just simply reach out to him. He's the one who actually did the walkthroughs last time we had any issues.
Sounds good, Chief. Thank you. Anything else in the local traffic authority? Commissioner Bartholomew, anything?
No.
Commissioner Glove?
Nothing.
Okay. With that, I would call for adjournment. I think it's been a very, just before in closing, I think it's been a very positive meeting. I'm really kind of hoping we can get that juvenile program a little more, some more legs, and mix it with ours so that we can see some benefit from it. And it's in the early stages, I understand, but I think it'll be a good thing, very positive thing. So. With that, I have a motion on the floor from Commissioner Bartholomew to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Second by Commissioner Glode. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Thank you, everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Let's hope we have a good, safe, healthy New Year.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Thanks. Bye-bye.